Welcome, Tale Tellers. Today's story involves a trip to remember, a trip to the beach. And this is a very special episode because it's a collaboration episode with two great narrators, Skinned Locust and Lady McCreepster. Let me just say, they both stole the show. If you haven't heard of Skinned Locust, not only is he a fantastic guy to work with, but he has a smooth and silky voice to listen to. If you hop onto YouTube and type in Skinned Locust, you'll find him straight away. Same goes for Lady McCreepster. She is very talented, and her recording sounds so natural. So if you pay them a visit, I guarantee you, there's plenty of stories to keep you occupied. And of course, a special thank you to Skinned Locust for involving me in this story. I really loved every second of it. I played James in this story, and it was a riot to do. It's these kinds of stories that take me out of my comfort zone and allow me to bring the most unique and fantastic stories to your ears. So sit back, but don't relax, and let Skinned Locust, myself, and Lady McCreepster share a story I hope you don't forget.
I think we're lost.
I know where I'm going. We're almost there.
You said that half an hour ago.
So we must be getting close.
James sighed to himself in the back seat as Allie and I continued to argue up front. We'd only been driving for an hour, but it felt like it had been much longer. The bickering started not long after we pulled off the highway into the woods and had proceeded to get worse from there. It only made sense that our last big trip together would start this way. It was one final hurrah before the three of us went our separate ways for college. And to start it off, Allie decided to get us lost in the fucking woods. I was definitely annoyed by this point, but couldn't really say I was surprised. She's been this way since third grade, never willing to admit when she has made a mistake. It was endearing sometimes, but most of the time it ended like this. The two of us just getting more and more frustrated with each other, while James tried his best to ignore us. "Maybe you got bad directions," I said in a bitter tone. She rolled her eyes.
"Ugh, you need to chill. I know what I'm doing. It should be just up ahead."
"We're just getting more lost the farther and farther we go."
"Wait, shut up for a sec."
Allie raised her finger at me. "Oh, you don't just get to tell me to just—"
"No, seriously, Preston, shut the fuck up for a second."
She rolled down the window on her seat and tilted her head slightly. A gleeful look popped on her face as she began nodding her head. She rolled down mine and James' windows with a smirk.
"Here, listen for yourselves."
I perked my ears to listen, at first only hearing the crunching of gravel beneath the car tires. Soon other noises began coming through. Amongst them was the unmistakable noise of waves rolling on a beach.
"Ha! Suck it! I knew we were almost here."
Allie taunted me and began bouncing in her seat. I folded my arms slightly, having no good way to respond. This was good news after all. About a minute later, we found ourselves in a small clearing that had a footpath leading forward. Allie parked the car and immediately began jogging down the path.
"Hey, Allie!"
James yelled after her.
"You're not gonna help with the stuff?"
She waved back at us, but didn't turn her head.
"I'll come back later. I just want to check out the water."
James and I both sighed at this, before proceeding to grab the supplies we had brought. The three of us had packed light, luckily, which meant James and I had no trouble grabbing all of it by ourselves. We set out onto the path after Allie, having already lost sight of her. It was a short walk before we saw an opening with light cascading through. It was almost unbearably bright as I stepped out from the brush, but after a few blinks, I was able to see the beauty in front of me. Golden sand baking in the sunlight, a pure blue ocean that stretched far into the horizon, and not a single person around us besides the three of us. The beach was small, probably not even 500 feet long. On either side, it was flanked by small bluffs and large piles of rocks. The back was entirely blocked off by the forest, which ended abruptly as the ground became more sand than dirt. Sunlight bounced off of the sand, bathing us in heat, only tempered slightly by the light, salty breeze coming over the ocean. You wouldn't find this beach on any map, or read about it anywhere online. It was a local secret, that only a select few knew about. I'm not even sure it was private or public land. Everyone at our high school heard rumors about it, of course, but less than a dozen apparently knew the actual directions to get here. Lucky for us, Ali's older brother happened to be one of those people. Half an hour down a small northbound highway, before turning onto a closed-off service road, going around the barricade, and past it just a few key turns before you found yourself here. There was no better place for us to spend our final weekend together. Ali, James, and myself had been friends since grade school, almost inseparable. We'd always be in the same clubs, always work together on group projects, always bum around together on weekends. But life is unpredictable, and the college admissions process had proven that to the three of us. Ali had gotten into a prestigious liberal arts school on the other side of the country, and James was going to be going to an advanced program at a specialized engineering college out in Arizona. I was going to State University, but I'm currently undecided with what I'm going to major in. My dim future aside, the three of us were soon going to be separated by thousands of miles for months at a time. Sure, we'd see each other during breaks, but it wouldn't be the same. We acknowledged this, and spent all summer planning one final adventure for the three of us. Most of our ideas were immediately canned, until Ali suggested asking her brother about the infamous secret beach. Once she actually got the directions from him, we were all set up to camp out over the weekend. I looked down and saw that Ali was already knee-deep in the water, splashing around and laughing to herself. James and I couldn't help but smile slightly before dropping our supplies and following her into the water. We dove headfirst into a massive wave coming in before swimming out to where Ali was standing. The three of us proceeded to ride the waves, dunk our heads, and let the tide drag us around for the next hour. It was incredibly relaxing, the perfect cure for that long and stressful car ride. After we got tired of the water, we all walked back up to our supplies to dry them out and set up the tent. James, being the engineer prodigy that he was, had it assembled in about 10 minutes, as Ali and I politely clapped for him. He gave a small bow before jumping onto a towel next to us.
So, what's on the agenda now?
Well, we could all just sit here silently, alone with our thoughts, or...
Ali spoke as she reached into her bag, pulling out a bottle of vodka.
We could start having some actual fun.
Holy shit, where'd you get this? I asked as my eyes widened with excitement. We drank together before this, at bonfire and parties, but that was always the dirt cheap stuff that came in plastic bottles. This vodka looked like something an actual adult might drink.
Compliments of Patrick. He said we could consider it our graduation gift.
I stared Ali dead in the eyes, joy filling my heart. I could actually marry your brother. This is amazing.
You should go for it. My parents know you'd make an honest man of him.
Ali said as she unscrewed the top. Each of us took a large swig, before having our faces turn into a grimace. It was certainly better than what we were used to, but vodka was still vodka. Despite this, it only took us about 40 minutes before most of the bottle was gone. We decided to save the rest of it for later, after we saw the sun was starting to hang low. Our thoughts now turning to food. I started a small fire next to our camp. We cooked and ate a few hot dogs each, happy to have something in our stomachs to match the alcohol. With our hunger satisfied and the sun almost setting, the three of us sat around the fire and began to shoot the shit like we always do. It started out as casual banter and reminiscing, but soon enough the conversation shifted to our plans for the future.
I can't believe I'm leaving in a week,
James said, staring at his feet.
Jesus, it is only a week, isn't it? I'm leaving the week after that. I kept on thinking about it as one of those things that's gonna happen in the future, but not ever really going to happen. You know what I mean?
James and I nodded our heads.
I guess I'm excited,
James replied, still staring at his feet.
I mean, I'll miss home and you guys and everything. But it should be fun to travel and meet all these new people. It'll feel like an adventure.
Definitely. I've already started talking to the girl I'm rooming with on Facebook. and she seems super nice. What about you, Preston? Are you excited at all?
Yeah, I guess. I really don't know what to expect, to be honest. I spoke in a distant tone. I was dreading talking about this.
Have you had any luck picking a major?
Allie asked, for what might have been the 12th time this summer. Not since the last time you asked me, no. I responded in an irritated tone. I don't know. I'll probably end up doing pre-med or something. I was good at AP Bio.
Yeah, but you hated AP Bio.
Allie gave me a dubious look. Well, I need to pick something. And at least this way I'll have a career path.
Why not try for music or something? You always had fun in band.
Like I said, I kind of want a job when I graduate. Starving artists don't sound like that much fun.
And slaving away at something you hate for the rest of your life sounds so much better.
At least I'd be miserable on a full stomach. I said dryly. Truth be told, I wasn't as sure as myself as I was trying to sound. I really did hate biology, and absolutely nothing about pre-med sounded appealing to me. But what else could I do? I needed a good job, right? That's the whole point of going to college.
I get where you're coming from, Preston. You don't want to be one of those people that waste 4 years getting more and more in debt, and then having to work for minimum wage for the rest of your life.
Seriously, James? I thought you were excited about doing your engineering thing.
James shrugged.
I sort of am. I'll be good at it, at least. Sometimes you have to go for the more practical option.
And what if he's actually successful with a music degree? There's plenty of jobs in that field.
Betting odds aren't great.
James dryly summed up my thoughts on the subject. Allie rolled her eyes and flopped onto her back.
Ugh, Jesus, you guys are impossible.
I snickered slightly, surprised that Allie was giving up this easy. My laugh caught in my throat. As I tilted my head back and noticed figures approaching from the far side of the beach, I immediately turned around, my heart starting to pound heavy. There were 4 people cresting over the rock pile that sectioned off the beach. The setting sun shined bright behind them, casting them as featureless silhouettes. My muscles tensed a little bit as I saw Allie and James also sit up and take notice. The comforting illusion of isolation was immediately shattered as the 3 of us gaped vacantly, not knowing how to respond. Who were these people? How did they also find out about the beach? We hadn't seen any trace of other people since we got here, and why were they only showing up at dusk? They approached us slowly, their pace a casual stroll. My nerves faded slightly, but I mostly found myself confused. This confusion only grew as the person at the front raised his hand to wave at us. I looked back at Allie and James, only to see a grin cross James' face and a grimace form on Allie's. My brow furrowed slightly, until I looked back at the approaching group and finally understood. They were kids from our high school, specifically Robert and a few of his friends.
Holy shit! I wasn't expecting to see you guys here!
Rob exclaimed as they came within an earshot.
No kidding, I responded, still shocked to see people I knew here.
What are you guys doing here? Rob now stood in front of us, acknowledging James and I with quick smiles, before giving Allie a brief and sober nod.
We were camping out for the night on the other side of the beach. When we saw the smoke coming up from your fire, we decided to check it out. What about you guys?
James shrugged his shoulders.
Same thing, pretty much. Chilling out overnight, enjoying the beach. Where'd you guys park?
We're off in a small lot on the other side of the beach.
He pointed behind him.
I thought we saw another car as we drove by.
Yeah, that was probably us, I said.
Sick, sick.
Rob trailed off, clearly feeling awkward.
Well, we're going to be hanging out on the other side of those rocks. If you guys want to come chill or anything.
Rob's friend Eric helpfully finished for him. I gave James and Allie a brief look before responding.
Yeah, sure. We'll see how we're feeling later tonight or tomorrow.
And almost as quickly as they showed up, they disappeared again behind the mound of rocks. Once it was clear they were completely out of earshot, Allie finally let herself speak.
Fuck that shit. No way we're hanging out with those assholes.
Oh, come on. They're not that bad, and besides, you and Rob were over like a year ago. It shouldn't be a big deal.
It's not a big deal. I've just got nothing to say to him.
I chuckled slightly. Well, that certainly didn't feel awkward or anything.
Fuck you guys.
Allie threw her flip-flop at me. We all laughed it off, and we were soon back to small talk. After a bit, James and Allie were off on another tangent together, and I found myself drifting away from the conversation. Their voices became vague in the background, as I found myself staring at the waves lapping against the beach. Maybe it was the alcohol in my system. Maybe I was just bored. Either way, I was completely transfixed. My eyes were drawn to the shells floating around the waves, how they swirled and bobbed in the water, what paths they took to the land, before being left behind by the ocean. Every time a wave would fall back, it would leave a mess of shells all along the sand, until another wave came along to pull them back. Not all of them, though. Every time, one or two shells would be left on the beach, bravely defying the ocean's pull, rebels desperately clinging to the beach. It didn't really matter, of course. The tide would start coming in later tonight, and soon enough, all the shells would be back in the ocean. No shell really escapes the ocean. They only delay going back.
Holy shit. Are you seeing this?
My body jolted awake. I flipped to my back and my eyes began darting back and forth between James and Allie. When I saw what they were focused on, something behind me, I again twisted around to get a better look. Lying on the beach about 100 yards away from us, as it had been there for hours, was a large black crate. I turned back to face my friends before the three of us got up to investigate. We were in the final stages of dusk, with only the smallest light of the sun still bouncing off the ocean. It didn't matter, as there wasn't much to see of the crate. It was big, probably about 10x4, made from hard, rusted metal with a chain circling around it, about half a dozen times. Other than this, there were no markings, no details, nothing to give us a clue about its origin or contents.
What the fuck is this?
James asked. It's a big-ass container, I said.
I don't see any markings on it anywhere. Maybe it fell off the side of a boat or something.
Allie spoke as she circled around the other side of it.
Do you think we could open it up?
James wondered. I gave a quick pull on the side of the crate and felt a weld between the top and bottom of it. Yeah, I don't think it's going to open for us.
Are there any, like, shipping lanes or anything nearby?
I don't know. Probably not around here. We're not near any big port cities or anything.
Okay, then where do you think it came from?
This question piqued my interest, but not for the reasons Allie was talking about. I remembered the shells being left behind on the beach. The tide was going out. There was no way that something this big could have suddenly washed ashore while the tide was going out. How the hell did it suddenly appear, with none of us noticing it? Before I could ask the question, James spoke up again.
Well, there's nothing we can really do about it right now. When we leave, we can try to give, like, an anonymous tip to the Forest Service or something. This is public land, isn't it?
I'm actually not sure, but I'm sure they would contact the landowner if it's private.
Alright, well, that settles it. We can check out again in the morning. It's fucking dark out.
He was right. The sun had completely disappeared behind the horizon, leaving us alone in almost total darkness. Neither the moon nor the stars could be seen above. I mentioned this to my friends, and they grew worried that a storm might be blowing in. We all gathered the last of our stuff off the beach before settling into the tent for the night. A small electric lantern provided a little light as we continued to talk into the night. Soon we heard a light sprinkle gently coming down the tent. Deciding that it was late enough, we turned off the lantern and tried to get some sleep. This honestly lasted about an hour. I woke up to the sound of thunder, shaking the ground beneath me. I clutched at my sleeping bag and bolted upwards to see Allie and James doing the same. The rain was now pounding harshly on the roof of the tent as the wind battered the side.
Jesus Christ! Where the fuck is all this rain coming from?
I don't know. Did you check the weather forecast?
Yeah, and it said it was supposed to be sunny all weekend.
Guys, I don't think the tent's going to be able to hold up against this wind. Especially not on sand.
Ugh, fuck. Fine. We can break it down and head back to my car for the night.
We all agreed to the plan and began to gather up our belongings back into our bags. Once everything was packed, we opened up the front of the tent to brave the storm. I was immediately soaked by the rain before even stepping out of the tent. Large droplets of water beat against my body as I stumbled back onto the beach, while wild gusts of wind knocked me in every which direction. James held the lantern up, providing us with a minimal amount of light as we tried to break down the tent. Even with this, it was almost impossible to see. Because of this, it took us far longer than it should have to tear it down. The tent fell in a pile on the ground that we awkwardly rolled up before I hefted it over my shoulder. It was soaked in water, making it much heavier than I had originally assumed. James yelled something I couldn't quite make out over the storm before gesturing towards the path that we had come in on. The three of us sprinted up the beach and back towards the car. Leaves and tree trunks provided some protection from the rain and wind, but it was too little too late. We were completely soaked by this point, and I could see both Allie and James shivering as we continued down the path. Not a word was spoken until we were all in the car.
Hey Allie, can you please crank the heat?
James asked as he wrapped himself in a towel in the back.
Ugh, yeah, sure.
She said as she stuck the key in the ignition. The car sputtered to life and heat began pouring in from the vents. I pressed my hands close and let them warm up for a moment before registering my displeasure.
Well, this sucks.
Yeah, this does fucking suck. You guys, I'm so sorry. I just wanted this to be a fun last weekend, but of course nothing goes right.
James put a hand on her shoulder.
Come on, Allie. Today wasn't that bad. It was actually a pretty good day, all things considered.
Yeah, the beach was awesome. And I mean, look on the bright side. As soaked as we are, Rob and his friends probably got it a lot worse than we did. This got a chuckle out of her. That chuckle morphed into a full-blown fit of laughter, and soon me and James found ourselves joining in. As the laughter died down, I tried to fit myself more comfortably into my chair and fall back asleep. I had just closed my eyes when I heard Allie mutter to herself.
Oh, fuck.
Huh? What is it?
I forgot my phone on the beach.
She said as she continued to grab and reach at her pockets. Shit. Well, it's gotta be soaked by now, so... Allie was already turning the engine off before I even finished.
No way. I can't afford another one right now. I'll go see if I can find it.
In this weather?
I'll be back in a minute, don't worry about it.
She opened the door and quickly disappeared into the darkness of the woods. James and I sat in the car in complete silence. Rain pounded on the roof of the car, drowning out all other ambient noise. I nervously tapped my fingers on the dashboard, becoming more and more worried by the second. She was barely going 100 feet, and it's not like there was anyone else around that we didn't know. And yet, a pit of worry grew in my stomach, causing my fingers to pound harder and harder at the dashboard.
She didn't bring the lantern,
James said suddenly. I caught the meaning in an instant. No lantern, no phone. She might as well be blind out there. I looked back out into the rain before heaving a sigh and reaching for the door. Oh, shit. James followed me out the door, and soon the two of us found ourselves again caught in the downpour. Any warmth I had gained in the car was quickly lost to the elements. My t-shirt clung uncomfortably to my body, keeping the freezing water firmly on my torso. The wind continued to howl around us, cutting me to what felt like my bones. I began to shiver as James fiddled with the knob on the lantern, before finally turning it on and hoisting it over his head. My first step onto the sand was met with a large splash, causing my heart to momentarily skip a beat. I looked down and saw that the water was now up past my ankles, completely submerging my feet and sandals. This came as a shock to me. The tide had been going out and wouldn't be coming in until later that night.
Allie!
I screamed out at the top of my lungs, wanting to get back to the car as quickly as possible. The only response was rain crashing down on the water as waves loudly crashed against the rockier parts of the coast. I called out again.
Allie!
James and I must have called out to her at least a dozen times each as we stumbled through the water, across the beach. We couldn't find a trace of her. Even with the limited visibility, it was clear that she was nowhere near where we had set up camp. Panicked, we started looking over the entire beach. Rain continued to pour harshly down on our heads. As we searched end to end, trying to find any hint or clue as to where Allie might have gone, it was only as we looped back to our initial spot that I noticed something that was off. I did a double take, as I saw something out of the corner of my eye, still unsure of what I was seeing. I yelled at James to follow me. We nervously waded through the water, my eyes squinting hard to make out the finer details. Once it was clear what we were seeing, my heart rate spiked. In front of the two of us was the crate that had washed ashore, now open and slowly filling with water.
"When did this open?"
James asked, his voice edging anxiously. I stood there slack-jawed, having absolutely no answer for him. That chest had been welded shut, with a fucking chain wrapped around it. It would have taken hours with heavy-duty power tools just to get this thing open. James looked at me before trying to answer his own question.
Maybe Rob and the other guys got it open. You know, when we were asleep.
I gave him a look of complete disbelief. We both knew that this wasn't true. There was no way any of those guys could have gotten this open. We need to find Allie.
We should at least check with the other guys. It's the only place we haven't looked yet.
Having no better idea, I agreed and let him lead the way to the other side of the beach. We soon found ourselves at the mound of rocks that separated the two sides, waves violently crashing against them. James grabbed the lantern's handle with his teeth and awkwardly groped at the rocks as I followed suit. They were completely slick with water, making it almost impossible for us to get a solid grip. Slowly, we managed to crawl up the side of the mound. Every time my hand or foot slipped, I felt my breath cut short. I scraped my arms and legs several times during the climb and felt the harsh sting as salt water splashed against the cuts. With gritted teeth, I pushed on, and soon the two of us found ourselves on the other side of the mound. James and I began to call out, not just to Allie, but to Rob and everyone else. The results were the same. No response ever came. We continued to walk forward, trying to find any sign of other people still on this side of the beach. After about a minute of wandering, we came across a lawn chair sticking out of the water. We approached the chair and began to see other remnants of their camp. The cooler bobbing up and down in the water. Even a flip-flop slowly floated by us. It was clear that they had left in a hurry. Frustrated, I kicked over the chair. Where the fuck did they go?
I don't know. Probably did the same thing we did and ran back to their car. They said their car was in a different lot than ours.
But then where the fuck is Allie? She's not here. And she's clearly not on the other side of the beach. Where the fuck did she go?
I don't fucking know, Preston. None of this shit makes sense. The open box, the flooding, Allie just up and vanishing. I have no idea what the hell is going on.
God fucking damn it! I screamed before kicking the chair again. The rain continued to fall, and wind continued to howl, as I stomped around the former camp. Finally, I forced myself to take a deep breath, and attempted to calm down. Getting this upset wasn't going to do me any good. After I finally collected my thoughts, I looked back at James. Alright, she's not here. And she's not on the other side of the beach. Maybe she slipped by us somehow and ended back. My thought was interrupted as I saw a glint of light out of the corner of my eye and felt a hard strike on the side of my head. I instantly lost all focus, and my body fell hard against the water with a violent splash. Completely stunned, I laid in the water motionless. A moment passed before all my senses came flooding back to me. I opened my eyes and mouth, only to have salt water pour into both. My body bolted upright onto all fours as I began to violently hack up water. There was a loud ringing in my ear, only matched by heavy rain crashing into the water. My body retched as I felt myself vomit up even more water. As I did this, another noise became apparent. Despite all of the ringing and rain, I could easily make it out. A fucking scream. I turned my head to try to see what was happening. My vision was blurred and my eyes still stung from the salt water. I tried desperately to blink the water away, wiping at them with my soaked arms. The lantern was now on the ground, completely submerged by the rising tide. It cast the world around me in an almost unworldly glow. I continued to strain my eyes, with the scream now crystal clear in my ears. Finally, I could make out the shapes, and soon realized what I was seeing. James was on his stomach, quickly being dragged away from me. I sprang to my feet, only to immediately stumble back onto all fours. My sense of balance was now non-existent after the blow to my head. Slower this time, I raised myself onto my feet. I fought hard against the wind and the current trying to topple me again. The water was now almost completely up to my knees. After grabbing the lantern, and with some difficulty, I found myself slowly lurching forward. James was now completely out of sight, but his fucking scream still echoed in front of me. I found my pace growing quicker and quicker. I had to catch up to him. My legs were moving independently of rational thought, fueled by instinct and adrenaline. I was almost at a sprint by the time I reached the rock pile again. I began to madly scramble up the boulders, never pausing to check my grip or footing. The scrapes and cuts I had gained on the first climb only grew worse, but I was numb to the pain by this point. Nothing else mattered besides me catching James. His screams faded completely as I neared the top, overtaken entirely by this storm around me. Just as I reached the bottom of the pile, a new sound began to come into focus, a dull, metallic pounding. With a new target to follow, I sprinted forward. I held the lantern far out from my body, trying to see anything around me. The pounding noise grew louder and louder. I screamed James' name, but only heard the pounding in response. As I pressed forward, I soon realized that I was heading straight for the open crate. Confident of my surroundings, I moved with a great purpose as I ever had. A person was leaning hard against the crate, their fist pounding heavily against the now closed top. It was Allie. I almost couldn't believe it. I called out for her, waving the lantern around in the air. She looked up at me, showing me a look of fear and desperation. Suddenly, a hulking silhouette appeared from behind her, at least 8 feet tall, with enormous shoulders to match. The figure was a mass of black, with no features I could distinguish. The only part of it that stood out, with two piercingly yellow circles on its head that glowed brightly into the night. Those must have been its eyes, but I wasn't entirely sure. I couldn't even tell I was looking at a person. A familiar glint appeared near the hands. Before I could yell a warning, a chain whipped into Allie's side, knocking her down into the water. I stood frozen for a moment, not knowing how to react. As I stood there, the figure vanished just as quickly as it appeared. I sprinted to Allie's side, trying to help her to her feet. Allie, holy shit, are you okay? What the fuck's happening? I showered her in questions.
Preston.
She managed to weakly utter. The air quickly knocked out of her lungs. She pointed her finger at the box, causing me to look over. I squinted, trying to figure out what she was pointing at. As I did this, I began to hear what sounded like muffled crying and pounding coming from within the crate. It all became clear to me.
James!
I screamed before I too began pounding on the crate. I reached underneath to pull the top off, only to find it once again It was welded shut. Despite this, I continued to yank and pull at it desperately, no matter how hard I strained. I only stopped as I heard the splash come from the other end of the box. There stood a silhouette, even larger than what I first had seen from afar. It paid me no mind, instead attaching its chain to a small loop on the other side of the crate. I was too scared to move. Frozen, I stared at the figure as it worked diligently. As it finished its task, it gave me one final look. It honestly feels wrong calling those things eyes. They had no pupil, no iris, no emotion behind them, just pools of blinding yellow light. The figure turned, hefting the chain over one of its shoulders. It began to march back out into the ocean, dragging the crate behind it. James' screams and pounding became more panicked, and I found myself clinging to the box, waves crashing harder and harder against my body as I was dragged out further. I continued to pound and scream as hard as I could, while still maintaining my grip. My hand throbbed, and my vocal cords felt like they could give out at any moment, but I still clung to the box. Soon the box was completely submerged in water, and James' screams became gargled and choked. I took one final breath before plunging my head under the water and making one last desperate attempt to open the box. I pressed and pulled with every ounce of strength I had, but the result was the same. The cover wouldn't budge. No noise came from the box. My hands remained wrapped around the side, unable to let go. I was going to follow them down. Just as I began to accept my fate, I felt a hand grab the back of my shirt, yanking me upwards. My head broke through the surface of the water, and I sucked in as much air as I could. I turned to see Allie dragging me back to shore. Soon there was sand beneath our feet again, and eventually we reached a spot where we could lie down. It was only as I did this that I realized that the rain had completely stopped. I turned to face Allie, trying to think of something to say. All of my thoughts clogged in my head, and I ended up saying nothing. The two of us sat there in silence, only broken as the two of us began to sob together. It was uncontrollable, neither of us knowing what to do, and so we sat there together and just cried. For how long? I don't know. As we sat there, I can only recall one morbid thought I had. My mind drifted back to earlier, as I watched the shells drift along the tide of the beach. We were the shells. Some of us might escape the tide momentarily, maybe even for a good long while. But no matter what we did, or how hard we struggled, we'd all end up back in the ocean, one way or another.
Well, I gotta say, one of my most favorite collaborations. The voice acting from Skinlocus and Lady McCreepster is great. And talk about the sound effects. I think I got to learn a trick or two from Skinned, right? And being a creator myself, I know exactly how long it took him to add those in and tweak the sound till it's just right. So hats off to you, Skinlocus. And a special thank you to Lady McCreepster for including me in today's story, The Beach. Remember, listeners, if you get a chance, swing on by YouTube and check both these talented narrators out, Skinned Locust and Lady McCreepster. They are both naturals to narration and just get better with each episode, so pay them a visit online if you can. So, my magnificent listeners, it's that time. This is the place where stories live, and you tale tellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.